Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. As we hear your word today, work in our lives to strengthen our faith that we may love and serve you more and love and serve our neighbors too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wait, what? That's in the Bible? Yeah, I have people say that quite often, actually. You know, I don't often preach on Matthew 18 because I don't know why, and I just usually kind of gloss over this part of it, but I feel it's important for us to talk about, especially in our world today. The Bible really does give us everything we need to know for life, everything. This is the reality. It teaches us everything we need to know. And it definitely teaches us about conflict resolution and dealing with one another when conflict arises. And that's the beauty of the passage from Matthew 18 today. It teaches us about conflict resolution. So I'm going to start by saying this. I'm going to have a little heart-to-heart with you and kind of share some vulnerability with you. Very often, people will ask me, what's the hardest thing about being a pastor? In fact, just yesterday, I was thinking about in my 18 years of being ordained as a pastor, and then in my years before that of working, doing church work, so about 22, 23 years actually working in the church. Ministry's changed a lot. Things have changed a lot, some good and some bad. But there's been one constant thread that has happened. And I'll be quite honest with you, it's probably the thing that hurts me the most. It's probably the thing that weighs me down the most. It's probably the thing that has caused me to think the most in my life. At times, I'll be honest with you, maybe I should just leave the ministry. Yeah. It's a very appealing thing sometimes. People can just be mean. You know that. People can be mean to each other. And if people get mad, the first thing they do is not follow Matthew 18 for conflict resolution. When people get mad or they are offended at something you did, and it happens all the time to pastors, I'm sure it happens to you too in your workplaces, people gossip. And they gossip, right? They start gossiping and they triangulate. This is a systems theory. It's not healthy. What they'll do is they'll try to get two or three other people on board to form a triangle against the person who made them mad or against the person they're gossiping to try to bring them down or make them look bad. It happens all the time. One of the most hurtful things that happens in my ministry, and it really does, maybe I am too sensitive and maybe I take things at the heart too much, is this gossip. For example, somebody gets upset at something you've done. Whether you've done it right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Somebody gets upset at something you've done. And before you know it, they've told X person and Y person and maybe Z person, and all of those people begin to come to you now and tell you you're wrong. They gang up on you. They attack you. They call you names. They get mad at you. They start telling other people so that other people will get mad at you. This happens. You've probably seen it in your own churches. You've probably seen it in your families and in your workplaces. It's absolutely disgusting, and it's gossip. Instead of coming to someone, as Matthew 18 says, and we'll get to that in a minute, we fail at times to follow what God has said, and we gossip. And when we gossip, we begin to hurt other people and bring them down. And not only is it the fault of the person who is offended, who is not following God's word, but it is also the fault of every other person who gets involved, because here's the reality. It's no one else's business. But we're nosy people, aren't we? And we screw everything up in the kingdom, and we mess up the church, and we mess up our jobs, and we mess up our relationships, and we mess up our families because we fail to follow what Jesus says in Matthew 18. We fail miserably at loving other people and putting them before ourselves, so we turn to gossip and get all these people involved so we can bring down the person we're mad at. You know, just recently I had a member come in to my office, and I was so honored because it doesn't usually happen this way. He had the respect to come to me to talk about something he was struggling with and upset about. It was a wonderful conversation, and it was a delightful conversation, and it was a beautiful conversation, and we left loving each other and praying, and it was wonderful. It worked out. That's how God's kingdom is, right? But so often that's not what happens. Instead, other people come to me saying, that person's mad and you did this, right? Or better yet, I love this one. I cannot stand these words, and they're so sinful and so gossipy that when people say them, it's all I can do not to say, get behind me, Satan, from last week's sermon, right? You hear people say it all the time. Pastor, or Jill, or John, or whatever your name is, people are saying, or someone's told me, I now have a practice. When people say that, I shut my ears off and I don't listen, because it's ridiculous. It's gossip. And I refuse to be part of that. And I hope you can get to that point too. because that is sinful behavior in God's kingdom, and especially in the church. You know, I'm working in the counseling field, and now I'm doing my internship, and I'm actually counseling people, real people. You know, not that I haven't, but I'm like working and doing counseling at a counseling center, and I am appalled at how many people come into the office to talk about their lives, and the vast majority of them have been hurt and abused and mistreated by people in their church, or pastors in their church, or other people in the church. I am appalled by this. The church should be the safest place in the world. It should be the place where love and joy and peace and acceptance and non-judgmentalness exist, but yet it becomes a place of gossip, a place of anger, bitterness, and hatred. Hatred, that's what it does. And we allow it to happen. When we get sucked into these triangles, when we get sucked into gossip, and when we fail to live what Jesus said. And here's what he said in Matthew 18. Listen, you people are forgiven, and you're my children. It starts off that way. You are my children. I love you, and you mean the world to me. My kingdom belongs to you. I've died for you. I've risen for you. I've made you my own in baptism. I've wiped away your sins. I removed them as far as the east and the west. You are my children, and I don't want anyone to harm you. That's how he starts it off, talking to each and every one of us, using little children as the example. And then he goes on to talk about this is how you operate in the kingdom of God in conflict. If somebody sins against you, if somebody offends you, if somebody makes mad to you, you don't go to every other member in the family or the church or the workplace. You go as a Christian directly to them first. In failing and bypassing that, we are sinning and destroying God's plan of love, grace, and any chance for reconciliation and redemption. Because when we fail to live that plan of going to our brother and sister first and foremost, any reconciliation, it might as well be chucked out the window. It cannot exist. We bring destruction and allow Satan to dance in the church when we do that, in our lives when we do that, in our families, amongst our friends, and our workplaces. Jesus says, if your brother has offended you, if your brother has sinned against you, if you have something against somebody, you first go to them in love and work it out between you. First and foremost. Right? But oh, how we skip that. And oh, how we mess that up. Oh, how we allow our sinful nature. Because sometimes I think it's, well, we got to protect this person. No, it's none of your business. If somebody comes to you and tries to get you to do that, it's your right and responsibility to set your boundaries in Christ and say to that person, have you gone and talked to the person who's upset you? Until you do that, I cannot help you. Because then Scripture says, Matthew 18, Jesus says, if that person does not listen to you or the conflict is not resolved, take another witness with you. And the two of you in love will talk to that person. That's very clear. If that doesn't work, go to the church. Get the pastor involved. Talk to your elders and lovingly and gently again, go to that person seeking restoration and reconciliation. If that doesn't work, then it says to treat them like a tax collector or a sinner. Now, we hear that, we're like, oh yeah, right? We can shake the dust off our sandals and we can move on and just treat them like garbage. So, that's not true either, right? Because if you really look at Scripture, how did Jesus treat tax collectors and sinners? How did he? Did he write them off? Did he fail to love them? Did he say, you can't be my friend? Did he say, I'm not going to hang around with you? No, he didn't. He loved them. He continued to interact with them. He continued to be part of their lives, to work for restoration and reconciliation. Setting boundaries, because we have to protect ourselves. We can't allow ourselves to get hurt again. This is true. But we don't give up. We release them in prayer to God. We do everything we can to love. We do everything we can not to violate the eighth commandment of bearing false witness, of gossip and lying, by saying to other people, he did this and he did this and he didn't reconcile, or she did this and she did this and she didn't reconcile. No. Instead, we build them up and only speak good of them to those around us, holding them up, holding yourself up, and in this way, we fulfill the love of Christ. This is conflict resolution. This is how we operate as Christians. We are not called to be like the rest of the world. We are called to rise above it. And until we take this responsibility in our lives, I can guarantee you, every conflict you have in your life, you will make worse. You will. Because God says, here is the plan for conflict resolution. Live it. I'm not perfect at it. I know I mess up all the time. Our sinful nature wants to gravitate to getting mad at people, holding grudges, and doing whatever, and triangulating. That's our sinful nature. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has died for us, has risen for us, has forgiven our sins, and gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to seek wisdom in His Word and strength through Word and sacrament. As we receive that forgiveness, we receive strength. It is our duty to surrender to that strength and to say to God, help me to do better. Help me to do better and to seek out living out Your plan in my life, in my workplace, in my family, with my friends, and in my church. And here's the point I want to make. If we can truly live this out in our church, I really believe our churches would be a safer place for people to come. I really believe our churches wouldn't hurt so many people. In the 20 years I've been doing, 23, 24 years I've been in ministry, not only have I been hurt, but I have seen people hurt tremendously who have left the church and never come back because people will not follow Matthew 18. I, for one, am going to stand up for that, because it has to happen with me. And that's hard for me, because I'm a people pleaser. And I want to make everybody happy. I don't want everybody to be mad at me. But you know what? I guess if we're choosing to live God's word, if people get mad, that's their choice. Not your choice. That's their choice. We love them. We put them in God's hands. And we continue every day to walk the path that Christ has set for us. In Jesus' name, amen.